morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those of you who are open to the realization that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt and counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, if you want to join us, is 877-300-7645. If you'd like to read the books that form the basis of the perspective presented on this program, you can read them toll-free. The sites are IntroToGod.org, QuestioningPaul.com, and YataYa.com. If you'd like to read these books in hardback, Claritors.com, CLAITORS.com, /Yada, presents each of these three books and offers them for sale. Their price, I think, is extraordinarily affordable, and I don't make a dime on them. We're trying to offer them as inexpensively as they can be produced. As a matter of fact, this month, if you, in the promotional code, you type in YADA, Y-A-D-A, 15, you'll get a 15% discount on those prices. Yesterday, I was listening to radio, talk radio, while I was in the midst of a bit of a drive, and it was a show that was talking about presidential candidate Donald Trump, and it was really interesting. These were a couple of, you know, typical right-wing pro-Republican politicos, and they were insistent that if Donald Trump wants to run for the Republican nominee for president, he should be all in and should say that no matter who wins the Republican nomination, that he will support them and that he will not run as an independent candidate. And you have political hacks in North Carolina and Virginia, and may even be South Carolina, but also Virginia, who are now trying to jerry-rig the ballot so that if you don't sign this oath of allegiance to the Republican Party, you can't run as a Republican candidate. Oath of allegiance. It's very similar to a religious oath. It's a propagandist oath, and it's the very thing that Yahweh does not want any of us to do. Moreover, why should anybody swear an oath to the party? Is the party part of your religious experience? Is it define who you are? Well, if they are going to run for president, shouldn't they just do the one thing that is required of the president, to swear an oath to the U.S. Constitution? But nonetheless, they do want to do this. Now, as they were broadcasting, they were all over Donald Trump for this, that, and everything, because they don't think that Donald Trump is a real Republican. They cut into his press conference, and it was the beginning of the press conference. Trump was having an issue with a newscaster from Univision. Univision is a predominantly Hispanic television station. I think they broadcast, as a matter of fact, in Spanish. The news conference was in Iowa. So the network decided to send their top what do you call it? You can't call these people journalists, because they're not journalists. They're talking heads, newsreaders. So Jorge Ramos, an anchor for Univision News, shows up, and he stood up and began asking questions of Trump, just as Trump had recognized another reporter. In other words, Jorge Ramos is being rude. They had a procedure there. You indicate you want to ask a question. You're called on for that question. It's just the way a presidential news conference works. And you don't, if somebody's asking a question, you don't speak over them. You don't pretend that whole press conference is set up for you. And you don't come there if you're going to have said the day before that Donald Trump was engaged in hate speech. And that's what this fellow did. So he's no longer a anchor, but an opinionated individual. So I have no issue with Donald Trump just shutting him down and saying, you know, when you're called on, you can ask a question. If you're not going to be respectful of the other journalists that are here, No. And particularly, why would you start the press conference with somebody who had accused you of hate speech? So, this story reads as follows. Iowa, a journalist for the Spanish language network Univision, who asked Donald Trump about immigration, was, and to start it that way, is really misleading. It's not just he asked him. There's so much other background that you need to know before you you make it sound like that was the basis of his ejection from the meeting. And it wasn't. Was then mocked by the candidate and then escorted out of a news conference yesterday evening. Jorge Ramos, the anchor of Univision News, and we're not talking about news now, we're talking about opinion, based in Miami, stood and began asking a question just as Trump recognized another reporter. Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called, Mr. Trump told him. Sit down. Sit down. Mr. Ramos asked Trump about his call to deport 11 million undocumented immigrants in the country and build a wall the length of the Mexican border. You haven't been called on. Go back to Univision. You know, if you're just going to be rude, if you're going to think that everybody ought to kowtow to you, that you're somebody special, and that everybody else that made the attempt to be there has no merit whatsoever, and that they don't have the right to ask a question and have it answered, the problem is with Jorge Ramos and not with Donald Trump. The media is out of line, just as is our police and federal agents. You haven't been called on. As security officers approached Mr. Ramos, a Mexican-American, he said, I am a reporter. Don't touch me. I have a right to ask the question. No, you don't. You know, you have a right to be there. It's a press conference. You, under the right circumstances, have a right to ask a question. Play by the rules. You know, you want to go to a press conference, wait till you're called up. You know, if you had a presidential press conference and everybody and anybody could stand up at the same time, and as somebody was asking a question, you had five other people trying to talk over them. And no matter who asked the question, no matter what the protocol was, you thought you were so special that you could make your statement and dominate the meeting after having told the world in a nationally televised interview that you are accusing Trump of hate speech, you know, all you're going to have is chaos. And so this is Jorge Ramos's problem. It's a media problem. One of the reasons that Donald Trump, who, you know, I don't agree with Donald Trump's policies and, you know, and many issues, don't agree with what he has said about Hispanic immigration. In fact, I don't even agree with an anti-immigration platform. And I know that that bothers a number of our more conservative listeners that I am not anti-immigration. I am pro-immigration. And I'm not even pro-closing the borders. I think it's simply impossible and a waste of time. I'm not of the belief that that Hispanics are taking jobs that would otherwise be done by Americans. In fact, I know for certain that that is rarely the case. Go ahead, Scott.
The problem, the biggest problem I have with, well, one, I'm also not anti-immigration. The country was founded on immigration. I wish maybe they would enforce the legal way to do it a little bit more, but all in all, I'm if you want to be here, be here. I'm fine.
Yeah, and you want to work here. The things you have to do, and it's really simple, the things you have to do is you've got to fix Social Security and welfare and Medicare and food stamps and all of these programs so that unless you are a citizen and have been a citizen for a minimum of 5 to 10 years, pick your number, you don't qualify.
Well, it's coming here and work. You got to come here and work.
And if you you can't come here and be a dependent. And second, as a worker, you pay the same kind of taxes everybody else does. So you have to be integrated in the system. If you're not integrated in the system, then that's it has to be teeth and penalties associated with that.
At least trying to put skin in the game.
Right. And we all ought to go to a VAT. A tax that is on consumption and away from a income tax, but a tax on consumption that would have everybody paying their fair share. Then you don't have an issue with any of this. But keep in mind that the experience of my son's brother-in-law, who runs about 600 acres of apple vineyards. His family, I think, collectively a little over 1,000 acres of apple vineyards. And when it comes time for pruning, when it comes time for harvest, the two busiest times of the year, they are unable to hire American workers. I mean, they're in the heartland of America. They happen to be in Pennsylvania. And they can't hire American workers. The American workers that they have hired never last a full season. Now, they're offering good compensation. The absolute minimum wage, and it's all incentive-based, but the minimum worker makes $18 an hour. Many of them make upwards of $30 to $35 an hour. The average is in the mid-20s per hour. And they're provided housing. They're provided transportation at no cost to them. They're even provided dining rooms. But 100% of the workers are Hispanic. Americans don't want the jobs. You know, I had housekeepers. The housekeepers are all Hispanic. Doesn't seem to be anybody wants to do the job other than Hispanic. The pay is typically $20 to $25 an hour. My gardeners have almost always been Hispanic. The pay is $20 to $25 an hour.
Well, that's one of the problems, though, that America's run into. Somehow,
yeah.
These jobs that you're talking about became beneath people.
Yeah, well, we've made entitlements too enticing, too lucrative, and between government supplied housing. You know, I have a farm worker. Guy's been with me now for I'd say probably 15 years. His mother and his sister have never worked. Mother and his sister never worked a day in their life. Every other year, they're given a brand new apartment, which they systematically trash at the government's cost. They are provided with food stamps. They're provided with welfare. They have never worked. They're drunkards and alcoholics. They don't do anything that is contributory. You to believe that Trump was out of control, but the individual is out of control who had no self-discipline, who had a sense of self-righteousness, was the Univision anchor, Mr. Ramos. The other journalist asked Trump why he didn't take his question. It's just like, okay, journalists, why didn't he take the question? Didn't he tell Mr. Ramos to please sit down? That he hadn't been called on? And yet, as he was escorted out of the room for not being willing to sit down and not being willing to be quiet long enough to let the person who had been called on ask a question, Trump said over and over again, you know, go back to Univision if that's the way you're going to be. He hadn't been called on. And so the journalist didn't say, so why didn't you answer his question? Oh, good grief. What part of listening don't you get? How can you be a reporter if you're not going to report? He said because he'd asked a question without being called on. You know, there is something about business, and Donald Trump is a businessman. And I know that business is now being slandered by politicians and being slandered in the media. But there's a decency about business. You know, businessmen don't treat each other this way. If you were in business and you came off like Ramos came off, you'd have a 0% possibility of partnering or engaging with another business. Executives won't tolerate it. There's a sense of decorum that is lost in the media. And, Scott, I think that's the reason why Trump is resonating with people, is that they know these human institutions are just way out of control.
Yeah. He goes on the anti-PC thing,
mm-hmm.
And I think it resonates with a lot
mm-hmm.
of people.
Yes.
I think people have begun to realize that being politically correct
is incorrect all the time.
Having your feelings hurt, isn't the worst thing in the world.
I'm so tired of people saying you that, and this guy Ramos is one of the big media trumpeters of this, to say that if you assess a problem, that and if you deal with a problem, if you try to use evidence and reason, that you're being hateful. I mean, just because you disagree doesn't make you hateful, and the people that are saying that are being hateful. I mean, Ramos has said this is personal. He's engaged in hate speech against me. So when Ramos engages in that, isn't he in fact being hateful? Isn't he in fact being intolerant? He is not willing to even tolerate Trump's position.
Well,
Merkel, when she says we won't tolerate this anti-immigrant mentality. Well, it's not anti-immigrant, it's anti-Islam. We won't tolerate it. Now, isn't she being hateful of their position?
Well, just think about what this guy is saying. It's targeted at me. Mm-hmm. This is personal to me. Are you here illegally? Did you show up illegally?
Yeah.
Or are you legal?
And if you're illegal, what's the status then of Univision, which operates out of Miami?
Yeah.
Are they guilty of violating the law?
And the anti-business thing, that's been coming for a while now, because you had a president that went out there and said, you didn't build that.
Oh, I know.
You had help.
I know. They pay their fair share in business. He's just so anti-business. The fact is that in America, folks, you'd have nothing if it wasn't for business. You'd have nothing. And America, your politicians and the ignorant, the dependent in this country, are so negative business. And putting the government in a position to so restrict and rob a business, that business is dying in this country.
The government has...
And the country dying with it.
Infinite wisdom has made it more profitable for countries to move their base
of
operations outside of the country.
Think of
how dumb that is.
Well, of course, because we have the highest tax rates in the world when it comes to corporate tax rates.
The government has basically made it to where they said, we'd rather have all of nothing than a portion of something.
Right. Wholly and completely counterproductive.
And that's the other, back to the immigration thing. That's the other reason why I am not a supporter of building the wall. I think the wall is the dumbest thing ever.
Right.
Because walls work two ways.
Correct.
Not only do they keep things out, but they help
keep things in.
Right. And
how'd the Berlin Wall work? Huh?
Exactly.
You know, the Iron Curtain? Did you like that?
No, well,
Europe?
But that's the point, is that that's one case that you can look at where they built a wall. But another case, if you want to leave and move out of this country, what did they do?
Right.
They take half of your stuff.
You want to eliminate the problems that we're enduring as it relates to the border? Two things you can do. One is, you integrate people into the society, and number two, you legalize drugs. Legalize drugs, and you don't have the myriad of problems associated with your war on drugs. Just two things. Really simple solutions. In an interview on CNN on Monday, Mr. Ramos accused Mr. Trump of, in quotes, spreading hate with his calls for mass deportations of undocumented families and repealing birthright citizenship granted by the Constitution. Trump is simply saying, if you're here illegally, what does the law say that you need to do? The law says if you're here illegally, then you need to be deported, because there needs to be a process of coming here legally. Now, I'm all in favor of making a process that makes it very easy for Mexican Americans to come here legally. And the fact that we have a cumbersome process for them to come here legally is why so many come illegally, which is just government doing what it does poorly. Now, on deporting 11 million people, my guess is that the number of illegal aliens in this country is four times that. And there's a 0% possibility of deporting them. None. So why even talk about it? Now, moving on to that is granted by the Constitution. Do you think that the author of this article doesn't know that it was an amendment and couldn't say an amendment to the Constitution or couldn't even bother to say why the amendment to the Constitution was written in the first place? The amendment to the Constitution was written because America wanted to take what wasn't part of the country, wanted to steal Mexico, the northern part of Mexico. And so it passed the amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and not the Constitution, but an amendment to the Constitution for the express purpose of being able to claim that any Mexican born in states like Texas was really an American and not a Mexican. That was the reason for doing it, so that they would have some justification for stealing the state. It is counterproductive. I mean, all it does is encourage what we're trying to discourage. Because what are you going to do then? The kid's the baby, the dependent, is a U.S. citizen. You're going to send the parents back? I mean, come on.
It was also there for the recently freed slaves, right? Because this was back during that time, wasn't it?
No, it was strictly for the expansionism that America wanted, because the slaves being freed.
14th Amendment.
Yeah, no, it was all based upon expansion into the territories controlled by, owned by, part of Mexico. That was the purpose of doing it. Had no other reason beyond that. It does not have any merit today. It is it's contrary to common sense. So he's right. It should be eliminated, along with about 1,000 other things. Anyway, after about 15 minutes after his ejection on Tuesday, Mr. Ramos returned. And he and Mr. Trump engaged in a long back and forth. Now, before I get there, so Trump wasn't adverse to talking to him or answering his questions. He was just, you know, a businessman is not going to tolerate somebody who is rude. And so that's why he was escorted out. He came back in. He waited until he was asked a question. But I don't understand how it is considered not hateful to accuse somebody else of hate, nor why a journalist can write that infer that Trump is being hateful when he's talking about a serious problem, an issue in this country. And if you can't even discuss issues, you can't discuss homosexuality, you can't discuss transgender, you can't discuss the problem in the African-American community in terms of propensity to engage in crime, or the fact that 72% of African-American babies are born out of wedlock, do not have an intact family to support them and to raise them. You can't talk about those things without being considered hateful. Glenn, this whole Trump thing is bothersome to me because I'm no Trump fan. The fact is, in this case, he was right, and Ramos was wrong.
Right, but they didn't tell the whole truth. Apple Vineyards, Yada?
Yes, Apple Vineyards. Apple Vineyards.
No,
well, Apple Orchards. Apple Orchards.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. You're not for working in.
Actually, you know, I know, an apple's never a vine, and so it is an apple orchard.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason I probably. I'm going to give a justification for my error here. Normally, I would just say thank you for the correction. You know how Apple, a modern apple orchard is established today?
I have no clue. I am utterly ignorant.
See, I'm going to share something with you. So my error in your correction is going to lead to enlightenment. Apple orchards are no longer planted where you have a tree that grows in a fairly circular fashion. Apple orchards are put on trellises, just like our vines. And they're all trellised, and they're all planted in lines with trellises, because that way the apple pickers can go down in vehicles where they don't have to have ladders. They're actually elevated at the proper height. The apples get the maximum amount of light on both sides. There is no climbing in the trees to try to reach embedded fruit, and so they're actually trellised just as you would grow a vineyard.
Hey, how how can I get a job working at your farm? Or even this job, $18 an hour with this much mechanical advantage sounds like it's a lot better than saying, do you want fries with that?
Oh yeah, the guys that work on our farm, we pay them. I think that the number right now is $25 an hour, but it's got medical benefits attached to it and paid vacation and other things that are associated with it as well.
Can I go from being the producer of the show to just being a farmhand?
There you go. Oh, there you go.
Exactly. I want to work on your farm.
There you go. I'm going to tell you, the guys that are there, I mean, they work hard. I'm sure that other people work hard, but they're good guys and they work hard. And my point was, and he is just so disgusted with the government continuing to supply his mother and sister, who are just total deadbeats. They don't do anything. They never work. They don't make no contribution. They're druggies and alcoholics, both of them, and the government supports them.
Except they're not listeners.
I didn't name them, so I can't. What I'm saying is an accurate assessment as provided by their son, and brother. There's no chance of libel here.
Right. I first thought to call in when you were talking about that stupid, pathetically stupid oath to the puppy. That's ridiculous. I'm reminded of Tom Cruise being born on the 4th of July saying, America, right or wrong? America, right or wrong? Love it or leave it. You know, the Republican Party, right or wrong? If you think your party's corrupted and no one else represents the values of your party, why would you take an oath to support someone else from you to be in grave error?
Well, let's look at this. The last Republican president engaged us in two counterproductive wars, squandered $4 trillion U.S. dollars, bankrupted the country, squandered our prestige, enacted the Patriot Act, which turned America's resources, its military and its spy agencies, on its own citizens, engaged in things that Snowden made public that should have brought down any government. The last Republican president personally authorized the CIA to torture individuals. This is to think that it is appropriate to swear an allegiance to the Republican Party when the last Republican president inherited a $250 billion budget surplus and turned it into a $1.8 trillion deficit on an annual basis, is to be brain dead. It was just to be absolutely amoral, incompetent, ignorant. And so why in the world... I mean, I understand it. The reason they do it is because saying that kind of stuff appeals to Christian conservatives.
But it shouldn't, because Yosha forbade the swearing of oaths, and he said, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and all else comes of evil."
So you think that Christianity is somehow listening to what Yosha, the actual name of the person that they have misnamed Jesus, you think they're actually listening to what he had to say or following what he did?
Hello. You'll find it. No, small percentage. If I was ever to be a witness in a court of law, I would have to say, I don't raise my hand and I don't swear. I just say yes or no. And it's very simple. And I heard a judge do this. But instead of getting the witness to swear, the judge should instruct the witness that he or she is subject to the laws of perjury. Do you understand?
Yes.
I understand.
Yes, I understand.
That's all that's required.
Right.
Just understand that if you lie in here and get caught, you're going to jail, sport.
unless you're the president of the United States, in which case you can start a large foundation and raise hundreds of millions of dollars and pay yourself out of that foundation to have a lavish lifestyle.
And there's nothing more ludicrous than swearing on a Bible, the book that says not to swear.
Or unless you're head of America's spy agencies, James Clapper, and you can lie to Congress under oath and tell them the opposite of what's true, get caught, and retain your job.
if you have a white collar, it's a get out of jail free card.
Yeah, it's not true. I have a real tough time with the anti-business because white collars are social business.
I'll retract that.
If you're in politics or in the media, if you're in politics or the media, you're not going to be prosecuted unless your crime is egregious.
Right.
It requires bribery. It requires you to be guilty of, like McDonald from Virginia, to be engaged in the use of drugs. But it requires something egregious. But if you're a businessman, you can be. And businesses, they don't. You know, business crimes aren't criminal crimes in the sense of you go to jail. They're civil actions, and therefore you pay large fines. But and they can send you to jail. I mean, that's what one of the weird things, what they'll call tax evasion, which is you could accuse anybody. You could prosecute and win a case against 100% of Americans for tax evasion and win 99.9% of the time. And yet they can send you to jail, deprive you of your freedom for not forking over your money.
Inside a ham sandwich.
Just interesting reading some overviews of the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment was the Emancipation Proclamation. Scott is right that it also applied those born of former slaves, although you didn't need a constitutional amendment to deal with that. But nonetheless, let's assume that is the intent of it. But reading the 14th Amendment, it says that the individual has to be not only born in the United States, but be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. It's really heavily, heavily toned to subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And by being here illegally, unlike a former slave who was not here illegally, that child nor the parents would be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So this notion that it therefore should automatically apply to the children of those who are here illegally is invalid. That's how it's been applied, but you know, very few people actually apply the U.S. Constitution as it was written.
And you know, Yada, isn't it nice that the Mexicans extend the same type of courtesies to Guatemalans who haplessly wander across their border?
Yeah, it's just amazing. It is. We are so hypocritical in all of this. You know that today in Virginia, two television reporters were shot. One reporter, a 24-year-old young girl, Allison Parker, and the cameraman, 27, were killed, shot to death. And I guess the first assessment is that the shooter was somebody who was a former government worker and was disenfranchised, that they had a gripe with the government.
So of course you take it out on somebody who has nothing to do with the government. That makes perfect sense.
It is, you know, this, we have a problem with hate speech, in that hate speech ought to be encouraged. And hate actions ought to be discouraged. Taking two people's lives like this, snuffing them out in their late 20s, mid to late 20s, that's a hateful action. It ought to be discouraged, and the person who did it, rather than getting 15 seconds of fame, ought to be summarily disgraced and condemned. There is no justification for that under any circumstances. But we ought to allow people to speak. You know, if we're using our words, we're communicating, we're expressing it.
Well, you'll probably have trouble getting attention for this story, Yada, but I heard a story yesterday about one woman who beat another woman with a puppy on a leash. She beat a woman with... Now, that's going to get some serious attention.
beat a woman with a puppy?
Yes.
Great. The woman that she was beating didn't have a puppy, but the woman that was doing the beating used a puppy to
beat the other woman. Yeah.
Oh, great. Well,
that'll get attention.
Yeah, here's Germany, which expects up to 800,000 asylum applications in 2015. And by the way, Europe now is, this is a massive problem throughout Europe right now. And these asylum applications, guess where they're all coming from? Islamic countries. All of them. And so they're going to take in close to just one European country. In 1 year, legally, is going to take in almost 1 million Muslims. Bringing the disease that promotes terrorism and the enslavement and rape of little girls into their country. And when people are protesting that and saying, you know, we ought not bring in a plague more deadly, more caustic than the bubonic plague. Those individuals, according to Merkel, here's Merkel's comment. There is no tolerance for those who question the dignity of others. No tolerance for those who are not willing to help where legal and human help is required. These people are shameful and vile. Wow. So it is our responsibility to take in Muslims who are not renouncing Islam because Islam has run amok in the Middle East. That Muslims are creating a living hell for other Muslims. They're kidnapping them, they're raping them, they're terrorizing them, they're engaging in mass murder. And there is no economy, there is nothing but chaos in the Islamic world. And then Muslims are trying to leave the world of Islam to come to Europe, and it's Europe's responsibility to take in this culture that created these hellish conditions. And if you're opposed to that, you're vile and shameful. Ought to be tolerated.